Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I don't mind it being once a year. They suggested that this would have been a great minor league ballpark, and I'm saying right. No, we don't want games there all the time. Once right. a year, make it a big thing. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know as soon as I blurted out the way I just did, people are going to say, oh, it's the same thing with the Winter Classic. So, and
but
they'll
it
say
is, it, but
they'll
it's
say
the
it
same thing.
They'll say it in that exact voice, too.
I almost said it. But Duffer, it's the same thing as the Winter Classic. But again, if you're not into it, like if you're a Yankee fan, you don't care the Reds and the Cubs and the season they're having or playing.
Yankees played in it last year, dude.
I know, but I'm just saying, if you don't care about the Yankees, if you care about the Yankees this year and don't care about the Reds and the Cubs, don't watch the game. That's
Who
fine.
Cares
it's
about
like
the Reds and the Cubs.
Huh?
Who cares about the Reds and the Cubs?
Well, exactly. They're having bad seasons, but I'm just saying it's like the Winter Classic. If you don't care for the two teams that are in it, then you don't have to watch it. But those two regions, those two fan bases, it's a special event and they love it. Yesterday, tons of Reds and tons of Cubbies and tons of alumni, like Hall of Famers at the games being interviewed. Johnny Bench's interview in the booth was unbelievable, talking about how he was catching a game. This one pitcher, he said he wanted to throw curveball, and I'm telling him, stop wanting to throw the curveball. There's shadows on the field. We can't see the ball well. Don't give him an extra half a second to see it. Keep throwing fastballs because they can't see it. And he was talking about that was spectacular. If you're a baseball fan, that alone was spectacular.
Are you forgetting that he was a great analyst back in the day?
I never really got to see him or hear him as an analyst because growing up in Quebec. But John Smoltz had some really good moment talking about what it's like to be a starting pitcher and then what it's like to be a reliever. Obviously, did both. Like there was a lot of good things about it. Big Poppy, I cried in the pregame because of the sight and the memories and talking about, playing catch with his dad and whatever. A-Rod said, I never played catch with my dad. So there was some really good moments in there. I really loved it. So if you're not a fan of it, then don't be a fan of it. But there's fans out there that like it. So that's why I'm saying, not to you, Duffer, to everybody else.
Oh, well, say it to me too. Does Big Poppy have to manufacture the tears every year?
Probably, although he was going to give up $10,000 of his own money and this big like pick six.
If it hits somewhere,
you get to pick how many home runs, the final score, how many this, that, the other thing. So they go to A-Rod, how many home runs do you think they're going to be in the game? He goes eight. I'm like, what? Eight home runs? Well,
because the Angels weren't playing in it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And neither were the Yankees. And I guess.
No, remember the Angels game recently? Seven solo home runs.
Oh, yeah. And they lost the game. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. But my point is that I guess last year the ball traveled well. This year it did not. So if you guessed eight home run, you didn't win 10 grand. That's for sure.
Well, so that went sideways right out of the blocks here. We got 5 minutes through and now we're maybe back onto the hockey page. But how are you feeling about all this talk right now? And that's all it can be because we're not living in the reality of actual training camp with preseason games and real NHL games because the season does not start until 2 months from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Home opener with the Ottawa Senators in town. We will have the Prospects Challenge a month from this weekend. And yet, with three recent picks from the Sabres at the World Juniors and the most recent development camp and the hope that a lot of Buffalo's young players who got a taste of the NHL last year will have an impact this year. How are you kind of feeling when you lump them all together in the big picture right now for Buffalo? All, might I add, on the heels of building the pipeline, Sabres Embedded, which debuted last night.
Yeah, so I'll say this, though, Duffer, and, you know, this is the first summer that we are working together doing this show. Every summer, I'm feeling positive. I'm excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, we got great prospects. Oh, yeah, they're going to go somewhere. And that's not always the case, right? So do I think the Sabres have some really good prospects? Yes, I do. Is there some of them that are years away to still be prospect and then we'll know if they are rejects or if they're the real thing? Yes, absolutely. But I feel pretty good about the enthusiasm that I got and that I keep getting from the Sabres hockey department with their selection of players, especially in the top two rounds of the draft. I remember when they drafted J.J. Peterka a couple of years back, the excitement for J.J. Peterka was through the roof. It wasn't a first rounder. They wanted to get him in the first round. They tried to trade back in the first round. They got him in the second round. And I think that when I watched Embedded yesterday, number one, the excitement for Matt Savoy at nine was very evident that everybody was on board. The interview process, when they sat into the suite at KeyBank Center and talked to him, you could tell in Kevin Adams when he got to talk to Matt Savoy, there was an excitement there. I liked it. You know, Noah Osland.
Before we get to Osland, were you a little bit bummed that we didn't make a cameo?
I was absolutely extremely bummed.
The whole part with Savoy's boys walking the concourse would have been a nice ad, no?
I almost sent JJ, our former producer, JJ. He's now moved on.
We got to more doing Bill these. Hoppy in that episode than we did.
Scrum lurker Bill Hoppy in that episode was big time, like up to the side asking questions. Now, you were in the scrum. I was sitting at a table in the back of the room, kind of listening from afar, right? So that's what I was doing. But you're right. The Savoy boys, like his buddies in the concourse, I think that was the highlight of the night for me personally. We got the TVA sport guys making an appearance on the show, like when
Louis
they sent
Jean.
This. Louis Jean, exactly. He made an appearance. I'm like, wait a second. They could have, you know, maybe had a clip of you and I, maybe me with the hot dogs or something.
You know the old saying, what goes around comes around? This is all because you charge by the appearance. And they finally reached their max and they were like, we can't include Marty in this. He has appeared in too many of our productions this year. So
I charge by the appearances, man. I better go back.
We all know.
I didn't know my contract was working that way. I'm gonna have to go back and keep invoicing and go back to many other appearances. So, but anyway
we digress.
Point is, yeah. I totally agree with you. I didn't want to see myself on the Embedded, but I thought there was a couple moments either from our live reaction shows, the boys there, or even maybe, you know, a clip from Sabres Live there talking about some of the prospects in the second day or whatnot.
Chris Baker
was a star, by the way, with us. So I would have thought maybe Bakes would have made an appearance. No, I don't know. Maybe those clips got lost or left on the cutting floor, as they say. Gotta
say Noah Osland now, as we get back to, Embedded and building the pipeline.
So Noah Osland, what I took out of Embedded last night when they talked about him was his maturity level. And I understand that most of that stuff has been covered going into the draft or at the draft, but there's so many things going on at the draft or going into the draft or right after the draft, because free agency is about to hit. There's so many things going on that sometimes a lot of it get left on the cutting floor in my brain. And when I listened to Jerry and Kevin Adams talk about Noah Osland and his maturity level, I was like, oh, wait a second. Like, I remember that you know, he's not big. He's not fully grown into his body, but that his brain, his mind and maturity level of his brain, I'm going to repeat myself, but is something that really attracted the Sabres. So this is the type of guy that I think he's going to be a few years. He's not, you know, Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, JJ Peterka, Jack Quinn, Matt Savoy. He's not like coming in right in. I think it's going to take a little longer, but there's something really cool with him, I think, at the end of the road.
Well, one thing worth repeating that Austlin discussed when he was here for development camp. The fact of the matter is, and by the way, if you were following along on social media in the last 24 hours, you probably would have seen highlights of his preseason hat trick overseas. Yeah. As he plays not in the Swedish top level, but in the second division.
Yes.
So this is what he spoke of, and that was the likelihood of playing this year to try to get his club back into the top league, and then presumably having a year of competition in the SHL with a top level team. So you're right. Like, we might very well be looking at, now this is not in concrete, obviously, but it's more to paint the picture of, do not be surprised if we're talking about this diminutive in physical stature, Noah Austlin, arrive in 2 to 3 years and hopefully with a completely different, I don't know, package that is his game, you know, physical maturity and knowledge that will come from this.
Yeah. And listen, would most scout hockey department like their prospect to be playing in the top leagues in where they are from? Absolutely. Like, I'm sure the Sabres would like to see Noah Austlin play in the SHL, the Swedish Elite League, and perform. But we have to remember, last year he only played 11 games in the SHL. He had 0 goals, 0 assists, 0 points, barely played,
which is very common in a lot of the Euro leagues.
Absolutely. He mostly played in juniors. So to go from juniors to go up to the Swedish Elite League, I think is a big jump. For him to go juniors now to the second league in pros in Sweden is probably kind of like,
yeah, but let's we got to rephrase that a little bit, in the sense that let's not think of it as the second league, like NHL to AHL. We're talking about teams that got relegated.
Yes.
So it's completely different. Like, on any given day, these teams are the standard of the SHL. So
yes, but I'm saying it's almost like, okay, there's a league with the teams that made the playoffs and a league with the teams that didn't make the playoff, but it's still the NHL, right? So yeah. Buffalo wouldn't play Tampa, but they'd still play some teams that are on the up and coming, maybe got some new prospects, some new players, and they're trying to get back to the playoffs. So, but my point is also, there's a certain pressure to try to perform sometimes when you're at the top league and you're just a 19, 18, 19 year old kid, and you're not physically matured yet. Mm-hmm. That being able to take a big step, but maybe not a full-on step to the top, is good for his development. That's all it is. And I think that you have to deal with what you're being dealt. And mm-hmm. I think that that's going to be interesting to see how his stats show this year compared to what he was able to do in 11 games last year.
That's exactly right. You can only play the games that are on the schedule in front of you in the league you're in. You can't worry about what you can't control. Now, you're coming out of Embedded last night feeling, therefore, a tad even more optimistic about Austlin, just because of how he's viewed inside the organization. Clearly, my opinion, the most fascinating part of Embedded last night was the chase for Jiří Kulik after Austlin was drafted in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, so the Sabres, and this is Kevin Adamson, they tried to make trades with 6 teams leading up to them selecting Jiří Kulik. He slipped all the way there. Now, the interesting factor in all of this is that the Sabres had Kulik way up in their list. Mm. They were talking Austlin, Kulik, like at 16, maybe try to get to 17 to get Kulik right after. So the fact that they were able to get him at 28 was a big surprise. And I do see some of the things they discuss in the pre-draft meetings when I watch Kulik playing with Czechia at the World Juniors right now. A guy that has an incredible shot. Look, I laugh because when he scored off the face-off yesterday for Czechia, Jay Harris, producer of When Bills Live, but also part of the whole crew in studio, texted to our group chat and the old knuckle puck or whatever. I'm like, that was no knuckle puck, but I see where Jay comes from. But, you know, he's always got this great sense of humor, but that was a rocket to the back of the net. That Finnish goalie did not even flinch, did not even see it. It went in and out. Kulik has got a rocket of a shot. Now, one thing I didn't know about his game, Duffer, and I saw that more in the first game in the World Juniors, and that's how he got his assist, was a bit of a phantom assist. Maybe it hit him a little bit, is the way that he crashed the net. I saw him two or three times in that first game, like right on top of the crease, crashing the net, not playing the perimeter game with his shot, but mm-hmm. also getting in on it. So, yes, he is probably like Peterka was in that draft. Like they had drafted Quinn, Peterka was the guy that I was intrigued with. Savoy is great. Oslin is a longer term. Kulik is the guy that I'm really intrigued by where this is going to go. I think he's got a great tools skill set.
Now follow, as always, at Sabres Prospects, Chris Baker on Twitter, because you'll get, you know, the video of most developments involving Sabre prospects very, very quickly, and the terrific insight that we've come to expect from Chris. Kulik was talked a lot about in the embedded episode, just, you know, hopefully being a game changer as far as how he shoots the puck, how he becomes a next level goal scorer in the league. What's interesting in all of this, Marty, is contractually what Buffalo has done already. It's no surprise, even though the plan, the likelihood is Matt Savoy is going to play in junior hockey
yes.
this year. The fact that already, and it has been for a while now, Kulik, Oslin, Savoy all have their deals done.
Yes.
Which makes the Kulik piece to the story all the more interesting, because like the names we've spoken of earlier in the spring and summer, Isaac Rosen from a previous draft, Kisikov from a previous draft, Cederqvist from a previous draft, these guys are lined up to potentially play in Rochester. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Kulik somehow really forces a tough decision this fall, and or does in fact end up in Rochester with this clearly young and evolving group?
I am going to say I don't think it happens this year. Mm-hmm. I think Kulik is still young, could take part of the World Juniors again in you know, the winter, because there will be another one in just 5 months from now, 4 months from now. Mm-hmm. So I think, for me, I see Jiří Kulik going back to Czechia in his development and, you know, just taking another step forward. I think it's very hard for 18-year-olds to come in the American League and being able to perform and continue your development. And you also have to consider that, look, he signed this contract, great, and he would be eligible for a slide if he did play in Rochester and did not play 10 games in the NHL. His contract would slide. So then it would be like a 4-year deal. And then the next year, it'd probably slide again. It'd be a 5-year deal, like Alex Nylander type situation. But I'd much rather say, let's do 1 year in Czechia once. Then as a 19-year-old, you can come in to Rochester, that contract slides, and then you have 3 years. So that's how I planned out the next 5 years of his development. Mm-hmm. Year in Czechia, year in Rochester, and then we'll see where you are for the future. Maybe it's a second year in Rochester at 20. Maybe it's right up to Buffalo. What's happening with the rest of the prospect? But I see, I mean, you talked about contract signed. The Sabres not only signed, you know, Kulik, Oslin, and Savoy this year, and Rosen, as you point out, but they also signed Bloom and Nadeau, Weisbach and Rusek. Like, there's a lot of prospects that have been signed. Like, when you look at the, usually, you know, you get, maybe you get seven picks, mm-hmm. three maybe sign, maybe four, like not all seven will sign. I think the Sabres have done a good job drafting, signing, and developing a lot of these players. That's why there's excitement about the pipeline, as they put it on Embedded last night, because of what has been happening and being able to work with these guys.
Now, just for the sake of clarification, if Kulik did find himself here in North America, either with the Sabres or the Amerks, he can still be loaned to the World Junior Tournament. So it wouldn't be, you know, closing the door on that potentially great opportunity for him. But the one of the reasons why I am pushing this out there, and again, these are not like me believing. You have to, you know, I ask questions for the sake of getting your response. Yes. And it's not based on, you know, insiders are saying he's got a really good chance here. What the driving force behind this is Kulik's words himself.
Oh,
after being drafted, like, what's your plan? To play for the Sabres.
To make the team. Like,
to make the team. And so in the very, very, very short period of time since, we've seen him at development camp and now a couple of games at the World Juniors. And let's just say he looks like he's on a mission, correct?
I think he is on a mission. He plays like he's on a mission. Look, it's only two games. Mm-hmm. And the meat of what is going to be the World Juniors for Jiří Kulik and for everybody else.
Imagine if he'd scored in the shootout.
Oh, which, like, he had, he had the greatest opportunity in the second period, maybe late in the first. He had a wide open net. The defenseman made a right leg save on it because Czechia actually went up 2-0. And then it ended up being 3-3 after Finland took it 3-2. Czechia scored again. Bit of a lucky bounce. But, yeah, I mean, I think Kulik is gonna get an opportunity now when this tournament kind of winds down to quarterfinals, semifinals, and this upcoming week, mm-hmm. to really show what he can do against top competition. And I'm really looking forward to that. Same with Isaac Rosen and Linus Jodin, who are all three Sabres prospect.
Yeah, the pronunciation on Jodin is going to be like a lot of players in the pipeline right now, up for discussion, debate, yes. And I'm sure a source of Twitter angst at some point in time. But regardless, yes, it's nice to see that the three are off and running at this current version of the World Juniors. So Kulik must be, and this is no surprise for anyone that comes from a European nation specifically. Soccer is, as we all know, just such an incredible global game. But Kulik clearly has it never far from mind. He said, we played a great match yesterday, and the shootout is just a lottery. Maybe in a soccer match we would have won. So we will see what Kulik can do. I'm just, you know, sitting here quite fascinated at the potential look, the diversity, if you will, from a nationality standpoint, to what the Rochester Americans might look like this fall.
I think that's very intriguing as well, because the Sabres 2 years ago drafted a lot of Russians. They have been drafting European players as well as North American, but there's a lot of guys that are coming from different backgrounds. And look,
just don't get them all that young in the same place right away, quite often.
I believe it actually builds for a stronger culture, character. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember coming in Rochester my first year. We had Václav Varada. He was, a Czech. We had Sergei Klementyev. He was Russian. We had older American guys. We had younger American guys, older Canadian guys. We had, from everywhere. Mm-hmm. We had guys from literally everywhere. And it really, really brings different element, especially back in the late 90s, mm-hmm. like the training methods and the skill development, the skating. Like, you get to play with somebody from Sweden, and you watch them practice and you're like, wow, like, I love what they're doing. Something that you may have not learned that they've been doing for a few years, and vice versa. I think it helps. I think that's why diversity in a hockey locker room and on the ice really helps if it's used the right way.
And you mentioned Bloom and Nadeau just in your list there a while back of being signed. But as we know, those players are not in the conversation here, obviously, for the Amerks based on their status within the Canadian Hockey League and the junior rules and regulations. Okay, this has been already an unexpected, based on topics, Friday edition of Sabres Live. And the most surprising just happened in the last minute as you rolled out the name Sergei Klementyev. I was witness to his junior career with Medicine Hat.
Yes.
I was very optimistic that he was going to make it. What do you recall about Sergei? And is there a reason why he didn't?
I can't really recall the reason why he didn't. What I recall most about Sergei is pretending he didn't speak English because he didn't want to talk to the reporters. And we're like, dude, like, you've been around, like, for a while now.
Junior hockey in
exactly.
Western Canada.
Yeah, but like we'd be practicing at Genesee County, like ice rink, because the first year, my first year in Rochester, they were still renovating the Blue Cross Arena at the start of the season. We didn't play a home game there for the first month or whatnot. So we had to go and skate at Genesee County Genesee Valley, like ice rink, not far from downtown, the airport, whatnot. And reporters are asking to talk to Sergei Klementyev, and he goes, "Oh, me no speak English. Me no speak English." And we're like, come on, you're like telling jokes in the locker room, but you don't want to talk to the media. So that's that. I only played a season with him. And to be honest with you, that was a bad year for me. So I was enough worried about myself. I can't tell you why or why not he would have made it or not. But I do remember that he just didn't want to talk to media.
Yeah, I mean, so he was there in Medicine Hat. My first year in Medicine Hat, he had 16 goals, 42 points, 165 penalty minutes. And then the next year, 19 goals, 64 points, 146 penalty minutes. So you can understand in the junior environment how a player like this would really pop, right? Like, just involved in every aspect of the game. I mean, he went on to play, parts of four seasons with the Amerks, before eventually heading back home to Ukraine and spending, you know, the bulk of his pro career over there. He just he retired in after the 2012-13 season. But interesting name. Thank you for bringing it up. Definitely a flashback to a different time for sure. And, you know, we talk about bigger names right now that remain on the market. We have spent an awful lot of time, too much so, probably speculating on when Nazem Kadri gets his deal. What about the remaining restricted free agents who are significant names? It has been so quiet on that front. We'll dive in a little deeper as we continue Sabres Live on this Friday, right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.